Commentator Carol Wasserman is not frightened by a federal government with increased powers of surveillance. She knows where the real spying takes place.
I was in the grocery store picking up a few comestibles, the sorts of things which are routine stuff in a spinster lady's kitchen. A bag of grapes, the smallest carton of milk, a tiny little can of vegetarian baked beans, and a box of vanilla cookies, just in case I should have company, or in case I should find myself hungry and otherwise inconsolable at 8 o'clock in the evening. I'm always careful about what I buy in a single trip. It is a habit born of years on the public dole, when it was everyone's job to decide how well I was managing my food stamp allotment. I understood that the tax-paying citizens in line behind me had an economic, if not moral, interest in whether or not I bought store-brand peanut butter. They had a right to expect that I would not use my food stamps on snack foods of any sort. They wanted wholesome choices, healthy choices. They wanted to see me buying brown bananas and weary green peppers from the markdown rack in the sure and certain hope that enough bruised fruit would somehow get me back on my feet. Most of you will not have reason to know or remember that until relatively recently, food stamps were issued in the form of actual script. One went down to the bank each month to fetch home the little fives, tens, and ones, which looked like miniature American currency, except that they were the wrong color. You took them to the store and used them like diminutive, guilty cash. Then, a few years ago, in an effort to eliminate fraud and modernize the system, we were all given food stamp debit cards. Plastic cards which were virtually indistinguishable, in theory, from anyone's plastic, except, of course, for the grim photo ID. I was happy, in the beginning, not to be carrying around a wallet full of play money. But then I realized that a record of every single item I bought with food stamps was transmitted electronically to some computer in the Department of Transitional Assistance, and that I had no idea what was being done with this information. With whom did they share their data? I began to worry about the total grams of fiber in my diet, about the unconscionable amount of cheddar cheese which I carried out the door, about whether I was meeting some obscure, unknowable quota for the consumption of frozen peas. I also worry about being able to justify the small idiosyncratic pleasures which made life bearable, about my weird little comfort foods. Eventually, I did get back on my feet and began paying for my own damn groceries. I finally had the freedom to buy what I wanted for dinner instead of what the government would wish me to eat. But I was too stupid to figure out that the check cashing cards issued by grocery stores keep track of us, too. This became painfully obvious when I was handed a large red banner coupon at the checkout yesterday, congratulating me on being one of their best baked bean customers. I was terribly embarrassed. I consider this a private matter. What I don't understand, of course, is why the American government cannot, meanwhile, bring useful order out of the flood of electronic information about foreign and domestic terrorism. Why it cannot keep track of who is planning to do what to whom. Apparently, our best and brightest are working at Stop and Shop, where they're wasting everyone's time analyzing and identifying New England's single largest consumer of baked beans.
Carol Wasserman is author of Swimming at Suppertime. She comes to us from member station WCAI at Woods Hole, Massachusetts.